You know, every year, every pastor around the entire globe, when it comes to Easter Sunday, you have to stop whatever series you're going through. If you're going through a book or a topical series, you have to stop it, and you need to preach a sermon on the resurrection. Well, guess what? I don't have to stop and change direction what I'm doing this morning. I don't have to deviate from where I've been preaching from, because today we happen to land on Mark chapter 16. And Mark chapter 16 is, of course, Mark's explanation of the resurrection. And this is where we landed this morning. Now, if you were here with us last week, what we talked about was the response of different individuals to Jesus on the cross. You had the centurion who blurts out, "Truly, this was the Son of God." You have the women who were there, and they were mourning as they looked at Jesus dying. You had Joseph of Arimathea, who shows up providing a burial place for Jesus. It's interesting, at Jesus' crucifixion, what's most conspicuous really is the fact that his disciples don't seem to be around. Oh, John shows up a little bit in his gospel just to hear that he needs to take care of Mary now. But other than that, we hear nothing. It's the women. And it's interesting, people like Joseph of Arimathea, who just appears out of nowhere. And then we have Nicodemus, who in John's account appears out of nowhere to help with the burial. And then it's a collection of many different women. Women who've supported Jesus for about 3.5 years and been with him. And they're the ones that are here when Jesus' time comes to die and to be buried. And it's disappointing that the guys are just absent. But you know what's most disappointing? When Jesus appears and the word goes out, the ladies get to see Jesus first, which is only fair. They were there, they're the last ones to see him alive. But the fellas don't believe the gals. Repeatedly, they hear that Jesus is risen from the dead, and the men do not believe the women. Today, we're celebrating Easter. Jesus' resurrection from the dead. But let me tell you something. That first Easter was anything but a celebration. You're going to see this morning there was a lot of running around, a lot of confusion, and a lot of disbelief at the very first Easter. Now, there's a lot of reasons, I think, to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, a lot of reasons. But I tell you one reason, and that's this. None of the disciples, even the women, nobody believed it was going to happen. This was not something believed by a bunch of simpletons who believed this cooked-up notion that Jesus rose from the dead and easily were gullibly drawn into swallowing this. What we're going to see is this. It was a bunch of skeptics. People were incredibly skeptic. And even when Jesus appears, when word goes out, people tend to not believe it. These disciples proved to be skeptics to the max. They were not gullible simpletons. What you have and what we're going to see is this. These are guys, it takes a lot of convincing for them to believe Jesus resurrected from the dead. But once they become fully convinced, in the book of Acts, we're going to see that they're going to take the gospel to the world. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this morning, and we are so grateful that we can sing praises to you for what Jesus did. He died on the cross for our sins, and yet he was raised 3 days later. We thank you for that, because we realize that means we will have a resurrection. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Help us now to be excited as we look at that resurrection day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them up. In Mark's gospel, we have seen Jesus do all sorts of miracles. I mean, every time we turned around, there were instances where Jesus feeds people. He feeds the 5,000. He feeds the 4,000. He heals thousands of individuals, touches thousands of lives. He teaches and preaches messages about the kingdom of God, profound truths that change people's opinions. Their worldviews get turned upside down by Jesus' teaching and his preaching. Then sadly, when it comes time for his crucifixion and death, all those people he's done so many things for just seem to have disappeared. And especially when it comes time for his death and his resurrection, you know, the people that are most available, the most conspicuous are the women. The women who are there to watch Jesus die, and the women who are there on that very first day after the Sabbath, which is Sunday morning, the first day of the week. They are there because they want to anoint Jesus' body, not because they're expecting a resurrection. Far from it. You anoint the body because you want it to have a pleasing aroma as long as possible. And it's a courtesy. It's something that's habitually done in the Middle East. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 in chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might come and anoint him very early on the first day of the week. I mean, the minute Sabbath's over, we've got to go over there to see Jesus. He's dead, but we're going to anoint him. And they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they were saying to one another, you could almost put an oops in there, oops, who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? They hadn't thought of that. I mean, there's a big stone there, and so the lady's on the way. And by the way, Mark's the only one that tells us this. Mark tells us that they get in this discussion, hey, gals, we forgot something. There's a big stone there. What are we going to do about it? And so as they're going along and they're contemplating this, they come closer to the stone, to the tomb, and they look up, and verse 4 says, looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Now, unbeknownst to them, there was another problem. There was another obstacle. It wasn't just a stone. Matthew tells us in his gospel account that there happened to be a Roman guard there and a seal on that stone. But Matthew's the one that tells us an angel appeared, moved the stone. There was an earthquake. The soldiers freeze in fear. And then what happens is they run off. So there were two problems. They just didn't realize one problem was there. So when they show up, the soldiers are gone, the stone's been moved. They didn't expect the stone to be moved, and they didn't expect to find the tomb empty. They expected to find a very dead Jesus. That's what they expected to find, and that's why they brought this ointment to put on his body. Now, John tells us in his account, and by the way, you got to hang with me. I'm going through four different accounts and putting them all together. And it's easy to get confused if you've heard one story every single year at Easter. To be quite frank, I've never heard a sermon out of Mark 16 on an Easter morning. Most pastors avoid it like the plague. And you'll see why later. But in John's account, what happens is this. Mary gets there at the very first. All the women are together, but she's a little more spry. She moves along. She probably gets there 10, 15 yards ahead. She looks in, sees Jesus is not there. She hollers to the gals probably, and immediately she bolts. Look what it says in John's account. Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which we all know as John. Yeah, of course. And said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Notice the plural, we. She's speaking for the other women. I mean, they all know that, but she bolts. She's the one that takes off. She's probably the youngest. She takes off, and she goes and tells Peter and John. Notice what her message is not. Her message is not Jesus has resurrected as he said. Her message is what? Somebody's nabbed him. Grave robbers. And so that's what she goes and tells. Somebody has snatched Jesus' body, and we don't know what's happened. She herself wasn't expecting the resurrection. Now, meanwhile, the other ladies enter the tomb. And you can see that in verse 5. And in verse 5, it says, entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. So they look in. In fact, Luke gives us a little more detail. He says they walk in and ponder, and then suddenly, two angels appear, not one. And the reason why he does this, and we've seen this throughout the Gospels, is in this case, what you have is one angel does all the talking. Mark's only interested in talking about the one angel. Luke specifies there's two. So actually there were two. Mark just is talking about the one because he's doing all the talking. And the message is this. He said to them, do not be amazed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they have laid him. In other words, this fellow who's dressed in white invites them, hey, take a good look. Gals, there's nobody. Here's where he was. He's not here now. So he invites them to take a look, and then he's going to give them an order. And the order is go report this good news, verse 7. Go tell his disciples and Peter he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you'll see him just as he told you. Now, if we look over in Luke's account, Luke gives this account. He says, why do you seek the living one among the dead? Now, I want you to notice, Luke presents the angel as offering a mild rebuke. I mean, this is a mild rebuke. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? Gals, bad place to look for Jesus in a burial. I mean, this is not where you want to look. He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was here in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day arise again. Jesus has said this three times since chapter 8, if you recall. Jesus has repeatedly told them this is going to happen. And they remembered his words. Okay, now they remembered the words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things. So Luke tells us, after this mild rebuke, they are given a job. Their job description is go report it, tell the guys. Gals, go tell the guys. That's what they're supposed to do. Now, if you look at verse 8, it says, they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. But you look up in Luke's account, and he says, and they returned from the tomb and reported all these things. In fact, if you look in Matthew's account in chapter 28, Matthew says they went and reported. Now, what you have here is one of two possibilities. And again, both of these are quite likely, and one of them will be clear later. On the one hand, it's possible. Some scholars think, well, what they did is they went and told the disciples, but they didn't say anything to anybody on the way. And they didn't go running along, hey, Jesus has been crucified and he's raised from the dead. And that, no. Dead silence till they hit those guys. That's one possibility. The more likely possibility is this. They are scared to death, and they don't say anything for a little while. And it takes a little bit before they get up the gumption and the nerve to go tell the guys that they've heard this message from an angelic that Jesus is risen. And with that, Mark's gospel abruptly and anticlimactically ends. That's the view of many scholars. And that's why if you look in your Bibles from verse 9 and following, you have brackets. Or your Bible might have a little asterisk, and it might say something like, many ancient versions do not contain these verses. Now, next week, I'm going to go through all sorts of details about what the scholars are saying. We'll talk about that next week. But this is Easter. Yeah. I don't want to talk about textual criticism today. And you don't want to hear it. You got to come back for that. What I want to do is just move on ahead, and because it's important to see this. Even if Mark did not pen these verses 9 through 14, they're accurate. They're totally accurate, and they're valuable. And so that's why we're going to look at them. So our first Easter at this point is as follows. Now, you're going to have to hang with me because I'm going to throw you for some loops here. And the reason why is because typically a pastor will preach out of one passage, and that's it. I'm taking all four and throwing them together. That's going to be a little confusing, but at the end, I think it will be clarifying. Okay, so this is our Easter at this point. Peter and John are right now running back to the tomb because Mary went to tell them that Jesus is missing. He's been stolen. So those two are booking it back. Meanwhile, Mary's traipsing along behind them. Now, while that's going on, we also know that these ladies who continued in have got an angelic message, and they're going to tell the disciples. So we have two groups that are on their way. Mary begins weeping when she gets back because Peter and John, when they look in the grave, sure enough, they find nothing and they head back home. And Mary stays there and she's weeping by the tomb. And as she's weeping by the tomb, she now gets a visit from a couple angels in there. Those angels stuck around. And she hears from them after they ask, why are you weeping? She says, well, you know, because they've taken the body of my Lord and I don't know where he's at. She still doesn't know anything about a resurrection. She's trying to find out who stole the body. So if we take a quick look to John chapter 20, this is picked up right after the angels ask her why you're weeping. And she says, well, because somebody snatched Jesus. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, where are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, because she grabbed Jesus at this point. For I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I've seen the Lord. So she comes back to the tomb. Now that she's back to the tomb, she now meets Jesus personally. She's the first person to see Jesus. So now she hops on her bicycle and she takes off and she's going to go look for the disciples, the 11 disciples, to tell them, hey, you know, I got to update my message. Earlier I said robbers took him. No, I've seen Jesus. He's resurrected. He's alive. So she's now on her way back. Meanwhile, those ladies who had the angelics tell them that Jesus is resurrected, they're going to bump into Jesus now. And that's exactly what happens. If we look in Matthew's account, remember the angels told those ladies in the tomb, go quickly, tell his disciples he's risen from the dead, and behold, he's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. They left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, which is, I mean, this fear is what you get in Mark's account, and ran to report to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. So they're on the way from the angels, having heard Jesus is resurrected. Now they're going on the way. It's probably about a half hour trip. Somewhere along that trip, they bump into Jesus. And behold, Jesus met them, greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. And take the word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. I think that's what causes these ladies to get over their fear. See, in Mark it says they didn't want to say anything. They're walking along, and all of a sudden Jesus appears. And at that point, it's like, okay, gals, we've got to go tell those disciples now. So now, guess what you have? According to Luke, probably at least six women have seen Jesus. No males have seen Jesus at this point. Only six women. Two different times. All reporting to the disciples that they've talked to angels and they've seen Jesus risen. Question, how should the men respond to this great news? I mean, when those ladies, when Mary shows up and then you got these other pack of ladies showing up, we've seen Jesus, we've seen Jesus. First there's angels and there's Jesus and he's alive. How should they respond? Well, you'd like to think, wow, he predicted that. Great. He is risen. I mean, that's what you want to read. That's what you want to hear. That's not what we hear at all. See, a lot of people who haven't read the scripture, what they think is that we have is a bunch of clods here who are simpletons, who are gullible, who believe anything they hear. Folks, these guys were skeptics to the max. It's going to be hard to convince them. If we look in Luke's account, now there were Mary Magdalene, there's Johanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and also the other women with them. There might have been a dozen of them. We're telling these things to the apostles, but these words appeared to them as nonsense. Literally delirious. You gals are wacko. They did not believe them, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb. This is the second time Peter's run to the tomb. First time was with John. I mean, these people are just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Peter got up, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking, and he saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home marveling at what had happened. He's wondering, what is going on here? There's something special going on here. These ladies are all talking about seeing Jesus. Something's going on here. The tomb's empty. And this fits perfectly if you look now at Mark chapter 16, verses 9 and following. It says in verse 9, now after they had risen on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along the way to the country. They went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. Now, you know what is Mark's referring to here, don't you? The road to Emmaus. Remember the two fellows? And only Luke tells us that story. Luke's the one that tells us about, and that's to a couple fellas. So now we're moving from the ladies to a couple of guys, and there's going to be a couple guys there. How do you think they're going to respond? Well, Jesus, as you know from Luke's account, he comes across two fellows that are talking about the horrific death of Jesus on the cross, and now he's dead, and it's just horrible. And Jesus walks up and basically says, hey, what you guys talking about? Well, don't you have any idea what's been going on here these last couple? No, tell me what's going on here. And so they begin to tell him. And during the conversation, as they're talking, Luke records this. The fellows turn to Jesus, and one of them says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. But, you know, also some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they'd seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women also said, but yeah, we didn't see him. Now watch Jesus' response here. And he said to them, oh, foolish men. Oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the things the prophets have spoken. And now look at chapter 16, verse 14 in Mark. Afterwards, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. That's exactly the type of mentality we're seeing here. So here's what we've got so far. The angels appear to the women telling that Jesus is risen. Okay? Then we have Jesus appearing to Mary. We have Jesus appearing to the group of women. We have Jesus appearing to now a couple fellows walking along the road to Emmaus. What do you think these guys are going to do now that they've heard this message? Yeah, you guessed it. I know what you're thinking. They got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They're going to go tell the guys. Everybody wants to report. They got up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, the Lord really has risen. The Lord has really risen. He's appeared to Simon. That's Simon Peter. Now, the Bible doesn't record that appearance. So I'm guessing that's on Peter's second trip back. I tell you what, you go on that road long enough, you're going to bump into Jesus, it appears. The Lord has really risen. He's appeared to Simon. So you got Simon Peter now and these two other fellows saying, you know, the gals have seen him and we've seen him. And they began to relate their experience on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were telling these things, oh, here it comes. He himself stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Now, let me ask you, how do you think they'll respond now? But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet? That is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now get this. We shouldn't be reading this. While they still could not believe it. Now, you're kidding, right? That's got to be a typo. While they still couldn't believe it because of their joy and amazement. You think these were a bunch of simpletons that were gullible and believed anything back then? Uh-uh. These guys are far more skeptical than your average skeptic today. My goodness, what does it take to convince you guys that Jesus is risen? He can stand there in your midst and be pointing to holes and you're all going, well, I just can't believe this. My word. Don't let anybody ever, some goofy college professor or some ridiculous book you're reading saying, well, these are a bunch of simpletons from the first century and those people believe any myth and any legend. These were hardcore skeptics. They did not believe. It took Jesus going in there. It's amazing. You know, I have a painting in our house. It's one of my favorites, and so I ordered it and framed it myself. It's the incredulity of St. Thomas. Incredulity means unable to believe. Copy of Evangeli. He painted this. It's the image of St. Thomas. And what you have here is, this is a perfect image because you got these three guys that are just like these disciples. And what happens is you can see Thomas poking his finger. Because as you all know, when this happens here, this discussion, there's one guy missing. Thomas wasn't there. It's a full 8 days later before Thomas shows up. He's been hearing all these reports from all the 11 and the women and are all saying the same thing. Jesus is alive. We've seen him. We've talked to him. We've grabbed him. We've squeezed him. We've done it. And you know what? What's Thomas's response, all you Bible scholars? He said, until I have touched those holes in his hands and his side, I will not believe. And so 8 days, he's the last one to see. 8 days later, he's poking at Jesus and eventually go, yeah, I guess you really are. You know, honestly, it is hard to understand the disbelief, the skepticism these guys had. You know what's ironic here? Jesus' enemies, they knew what he said. And that's why they posted a guard and put a seal on that tomb. How ironic that his enemies paid very close attention to his prediction that he was going to raise in 3 days. On the other hand, his friends had to be reminded, even though they had been told time and time and time, explain that to me. I have no answer for that. Well, actually, I do. You know, I would like to think if I was one of the apostles, one of those disciples, and Jesus has said, you know, in 3 days I'll arise from again, I'd get my buddies, we'd get our lawn chairs, a bag of bagels, and we'd sit outside that tomb. You know, just like you go to the ball game and you sit there the day before, these college kids will sit there, you know, hours before, spend the night so they can get there and get those tickets. Man, we would have got around that and just waited. Jesus is going to race. There's going to be some fireworks here. I mean, what's going to happen here? You're going to blow this place. I mean, you'd think you'd want to be there with the lawn chair to see this. These guys don't. They're not expecting a resurrection. When it happens, they don't believe it. Folks, that's a tough crowd. So why all this unbelief? That's a great question. And the only things I can offer are this. Number one, as to why there is such intense skepticism and unbelief is something that was spoken by the fellows on the way to Emmaus. But we were hoping it was he who was going to redeem Israel. The view of the disciples, it didn't matter how many times Jesus corrected their goofy theology, they expected Jesus to squash Rome and to set up an empire, an eternal empire. And what they saw was Rome squish Jesus. And that just blew them apart. And in the book of Proverbs, Solomon says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Their expectations, grandiose expectations and hopes and dreams had been so shattered, they couldn't handle it. And you know what happens in life with people? You have some really horrible things happen in your life that you just didn't think could ever happen. And it makes it hard not to be a pessimist. It really does. Next time something starts to go apart, what's your thought? Here we go again. Hammer's dropping again. It's the way life goes for me. And you can see that mentality because when Jesus is missing from the tomb, you'd think at least their first thought might be, well, maybe he's resurrected. I think he talked about that. But what's their first thought? Robbers. Rome nailed him. Makes sense. Robbers did too. He can't stop Rome. He can't stop robbers. I think that's where they're at. And disappointment does that to people. You can be really pessimistic and forget good things. That's one thing. And the second reason I think is this, and this is what we just saw a moment ago in Luke 24:41. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, I would paraphrase it this way today. It just sounds too good to be true. I mean, this is too good to be true. He's alive. We saw him get slaughtered up there. Again, you have to imagine the sights they saw, folks. We saw him get slaughtered. And he was just a heap of blood when they threw him in the tomb. This is just too good to be true. And you know what? A lot of people will not put their trust in Christ and they will not believe in the resurrection because, you know, it just sounds like this beautiful, beautiful myth. This wonderful fairy tale. Jesus rises from the dead and you put your faith in him and you go to heaven and it's a wonderful place and life, and it goes on and on and on and there's no more tears and he wipes away the tears you have and you know, it just is too good to be true. And that's why people don't believe the resurrection today. You know what? These guys are a lot like we are today. Or let's put it this way. We're a lot like they are. Skeptics to the core. It's easy to be pessimistic, especially when things don't go our way. It's just too good to be true. And that's the only things I can offer here, because otherwise I don't understand how you're told over and over again, and my goodness, when he shows up, you can hardly believe it. They were expecting the worst because they thought they had seen the worst. And it just seemed too good to be true. Let me tell you something. Oftentimes, God allows really hard, bad things in your life. And you know what? When that happens, that doesn't mean the next thing that's going to happen is going to be hard and bad and worse because he likes doing it. Sometimes there's something really hard and bad, and then God does something fabulous. So pay attention. Don't expect it to be, oh my goodness, here we go again. God just loves putting me down. And I think that's how these disciples felt. They just, you know, got to be robbers, you know. Rome kills him. If he's missing, can't be resurrection. That'd be good. It's got to be robbers. By the way, don't be surprised if people don't believe your message. You know, you've experienced Jesus in your life, and you go share it with somebody. Don't be surprised if they don't believe it, and they don't buy it, and they think, you know, that's great for you, but not for me. Don't be surprised. That's what these women experienced here. And that, by the way, was a crowd that shouldn't have been so rough. Jesus rose from the dead, and hopefully everybody here is convinced of that. Because I'm telling you, it's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's something that a bunch of guys had a real hard time ever coming to grips with and believing. But when they did, they all risked their lives to get that message out, and most of them will die horrible deaths to get that message out because they were so convinced that they saw Jesus. Let's stand and pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for Jesus who died for our sins and the fact that death could not keep him down, that he rose from the dead. He conquered sin and death, which means that death and sin one day will have absolutely no power. Death itself will be thrown into Hades. And we look forward to the new kingdom when it comes in its fullness. Help us in the meantime to hold fast to the resurrection of Jesus. Help us to be people who are quick to share that message with others when the opportunity arrives. We thank you for this day as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Amen.